This episode contains adult content. Listener discretion is advised. Okay, so Soot, you are inside Kat and Bernice's place. It's a modest house, little place or whatever. And you hear the conversation between Kat and Bernice kind of in the background. She doesn't really show herself. It doesn't seem heated, but it seems kind of pointed. It's almost like you hear like Bernice say, "Who is this person? Why is he staying here? What have you done?" And you know, you almost hear him say like, "Oh, this will be the last time," you know, that kind of thing. So
all valid questions.
So it seems that you're not the first person to take up their basement, but it doesn't seem anything that's bad. It just seems like Bernice is concerned, and Kat is trying to console her, or let her know that it's not a big deal.
All right, so I'm in the basement there, and they're upstairs.
Yeah, actually, he hasn't taken you to the basement yet. So he's talking to Bernice, just trying to kind of.
So I'm just like standing there all awkwardly in like the foyer.
Yeah, you're literally in the hallway of somebody's apartment, just waiting for the people that live there to stop arguing.
I look around while I'm listening to this and trying.
Yeah, you see, like knitted like. I'm trying to think of the thing, like a crocheted, like home sweet home. You're kind of in the
love.
Yeah, exactly. You're kind of in the hallway / kitchen. You know, there's a picture of Cotton and what you would assume is Bernice and their daughter. Bernice is also a Goliath, right? We said Goliath, right?
Yep. Now, because we're talking about the appearance of people who get into this cult, does she look like someone who would be inducted into this cult based on our understanding?
Yeah, Bernice and their daughter are gorgeous. Like, you know, a lot of times with Goliaths, you don't hear them being like overly like gorgeous or anything like that, which is unfortunate. It's one of those things that. One of those stereotypes that, you know, I'm sure a lot of Goliaths hate, but, you know, they're just, both of them are just drop dead gorgeous. You can tell that Bernice is a little older, but how much older you really can't tell because they're both very youthful.
I would hope she's older than her daughter.
Yeah. The daughter is very, very waif-like, but also very just, I mean, features are very handsome, actually. Very distinct cheekbones. Very distinct legs. Yeah, just everything about it. You're just like, well, if this is to believe that the pusillanimous have all of their members are gorgeous, then you are like, well, if she doesn't get in, kind of thing. But again, that's probably not all that is required of somebody to be in that cult.
Is there like a chair or something? Is there some sort of like a sitting area?
Oh no. No, there's like, you would think that there would be something, but for some reason, like, you know, let's say in the kitchen, there's like a, what's that called? An island. And you think there would be some chairs around it, but they're not there. So either they're put away or maybe they clean that day or whatever, but.
Oh, I just felt like in the foyer where I'm waiting. Cause they're in another room, aren't they? Whisper talking about me.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
So you're kind of in the foyer / before the kitchen. You're kind of in the middle, but yeah, there's really nowhere. But before you know it, Ka comes back and he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry. My apologies. My wife thinks I'm like this person that like I see a cat and I have to like adopt the cat, you know, it's that kind of thing. I just want to help people. And when I see people that are in the situations that you are, that you might need somewhere to stay for the night, I can't help but do it." So.
Got the voice I was using, so I'm just going to go with, that's no problem, Kat. I appreciate it. I appreciate you going out on a limb for me like this. I, As long as I'm not causing any problems, I just appreciate the place to stay, with things being as they are amongst us fishermen.
Of course, he says. And he, before he takes you down to the basement, he says, my apologies, there is no bathroom in this basement. But if you go past the kitchen here to your left, don't go upstairs. That's where my daughter's room is and where our bedroom is. Just take a right instead. There's a little hallway there and there's a bathroom right there for you.
Much appreciated. I won't do as us fishermen do and just use whatever corner we find as our bathroom. It's just a joke. It's just a joke.
he like tries not to laugh too loud because he's like, it's kind of late. He's like, you got me there, young Gil. He says, no worries. I understand a fisherman's life. But yeah, if you just head down the stairs here, if you don't mind, if you would just close the door for your privacy and for our own. Yeah, you can stay there until morning. And if you're not out and about too early in the morning, I would like to invite you for breakfast in the morning as well.
Out of respect for your wonderful family and dear wife, I'll try to be out of here before any of you wake.
As you wish. And he kind of like, instead of like kind of telling you where everything is, he just kind of points down the stairs because he figures you'll figure it out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'll do it. I'll make note of where he said all the other rooms were. I don't know why he told me where his room and his daughter's room were, but I take note.
Well, he's basically telling. Actually, roll me a, is that perception?
Insight?
Do whatever insight, you like.
Yeah, roll me an insight check.
Insight plus 2, 13, 15 total.
Okay, so basically he's insinuating, don't go there.
Right.
Because it's you know, he's drunk, it's late.
Yeah, I'm not going to piss off the drunk Goliath.
Yeah, no. And it's like, you know, I'm sure in his voice, he's probably thinking he's probably had people over before. They've tried to go left when they should have gone right.
This motherfucker. Okay, got it. Yeah, it just doesn't. Okay, I get it. All right. Yeah. Doesn't learn his lesson. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I go downstairs then, and I lie in wait.
Yeah. So you go downstairs, and there, it seems like basements are. They're a real cool basement, but because it's actually been a pretty nice day, warm day out, it doesn't seem as cold to you. There's a bunch of folded blankets up on a, I don't know, in Dungeons and Dragons, in fantasy role playing, do they have couches? I don't know.
Sure.
I would assume so. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Let's say, like, you know, there's like a, you know, like a nice long couch, obviously, because they're Goliaths. They need a nice long couch. It's plenty of room for you to lay in, even though you could change shape and make it nice and comfortable for you regardless. So.
Oh, yeah. No, I'll stay in Gil form. I'm feeling comfortable in Gil form.
Yeah. Yeah.
Form of Gil.
There's like an old record player in the corner. There what looks like a little bar downstairs, but there's nothing really there at the moment. Again, more pictures of the family, again, all of them looking very happy.
There's a pile of clothes on the pool table that nobody uses anymore.
Yes, exactly. Yes. The foosball table is very dusty.
Yes.
So yeah, that's your situation.
All right. You said there was windows?
Yes. There are two windows to the south side, and they are big enough for you to see through. And I think I mentioned this last time we got together. No one's gonna notice this because I kind of edit everything together, but last time I talked about it's big enough to where if Black Claws wanted to fit through the window, he could, and then you could just assume that you yourself could as well if you needed to get in and out of it.
Okay, so I would go to the windows and just make sure that I could get out of them if I needed to, that they open up or whatever, and then I would look out to see if I could actually get a glimpse to see where if I could get a glimpse of Black Claw skulking around. Yeah.
So why don't you roll me in a wisdom check, please?
Straight whiz, no, nothing, skill.
Unless you know something about windows.
95 or 98. Because I know something about windows.
Nice.
No, I probably don't know too much about
carpentry.
No, I probably don't know any of that. Okay, we'll go straight whiz. What's my whiz?
Okay, don't take good. A whiz on that window.
I'm not very wise. So seven is total.
Okay. All right. So you kind of, for some reason, you feel like you could get these to open for some reason you're like tapping the sides. You're tapping
there's
the
no
top.
Thing. You know what I mean? There's no like, thing.
Yeah. You're like, how does this open? Like there's like, you're not finding what it is to open it up.
Yeah. I'm looking for the thing. You know what I'm talking about? The thing I'm looking for. Yeah. And it's not there. I can't figure
That's
it
right.
out.
That's right. Yeah. It's like, you even get in your head. You're like, there's,
there's no thing.
It should be latch. It should be lever, but you're just thinking, where's the thing? There's got to be a thing here. What is that?
If there's thing? No thing. I can't thing? Open the window. There's no thing. I can't open the window. So now I'm just looking out the glass trying to find it because I'm trapped here now. After everybody falls asleep, I'm clearly going to sneak around, but I am trapped now.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll head elsewhere to where Black Claws is.
so it's like banging on windows. Like, I can't find the thing. And then we'll fly right out.
He's like a mime.
I'm trapped.
I can't breathe.
I'm pointing. I'm casting whisper, and I'm pointing in random directions, hoping to maybe catch him.
His face is up it's against like the window, like he's trying to peep on somebody.
There's a random person walking down the street. Go, what the fuck? What was that?
Getting a message like, Blacko, where are you? They go crazy. We'll see him in the next campaign, as in a mental institution. We're talking about Black Claw. Where's Black Claw?
Are you Black Claw? So Black Claws, you see that, Soot goes in with Kot, and you see some kind of images kind of move in the dark and stuff like, or move. There's some minimal light and stuff like that because it's late, and you see kind of like lights kind of go out except for in the basement. What do you do?
So I have a description of the H. Is that the description that John was given, or have I gone up to take a look at it yet? Because I don't remember.
Well, let's just say now that you're there, you see the same thing.
Okay, so I see it. I don't have to look for it.
You don't have to search for it. It is out there and proud there.
You said it was also surrounded by dots. Would that be an arcana check to see whether or not that's like the pattern of stars that is emblazoned upon me?
Yes, let's go ahead and take an arcana check and see what you see.
All right. Ooh, that was a 20 for a hot second, son of a bitch. Landed on 14 plus 2 is 16.
Nice. Okay, so you look at it and you're like, oh, this looks like some kind of weird like powder or something.
Lick it.
It just looks.
No, I don't do
it. What's that?
I said I lick it. Then I said, no, I don't do that.
You're a cat. You would do that. You feel like there's some kind of evil around it. It's not stars. It's some kind of, well, you know, you rolled pretty good.
16, I'm only third level. Yeah. It's pretty good.
You did. Okay. I'm going to ask you a question. would you touch it? You're compelled to.
Well, you can't compel me and ask me if I do it at the same time. You either ask me or you compel me.
No, there's something in your head that compels you to touch it. You don't have to. I'm just saying there's something inside of you that says to touch it.
So the arcana check to me feels like that the pattern of dots feels evil. Not necessarily the H itself, but the surrounding.
The H is
thing in total.
The H is part of it. You were kind of talking more about the
dots. Yeah.
About the dots themselves. That's why I didn't say everything.
Okay.
If you wanted to make another arcana for the H as well, I would let you, but that's up to you.
No, I'm gonna take it in total. I think what he does probably is lean in and sniff at it.
Yeah. So you lean in and you sniff at it, and it smells like charred remains.
He wrinkles his nose and his ears kind of flatten a little bit, and his gums come up so you can see all of his tooths.
and you would be one to actually know this because you've done stuff with being a warlock. You've used certain things, and like even at the school, they're like, okay, these are some of the things that are used in doing this ritual, and this is for some of that. And it's like maybe you didn't quite run into it, but for some reason your whole body is telling you that's what that is.
Mm. I back up, like I take a step back. Because obviously that's gross. And then I, you know, like I take a look around to see, you know, if anybody's watching, right? To like see like, oh, I put this here. Let me see if anybody is taken by it, right? Like maybe that's a potential convert kind of, you know, like just would it, like his instinct would be to step away and kind of look around. And then if he doesn't see anything, to duck back into the shadows and then start, you know, like in an alley so people don't see him to, you know, like look down into the window, see if I can see Blacklaw or not.
Yeah.
Or, see if I see Soot. I'm Blacklaw's.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Roll me a perception check.
That is a 17 plus, I think it's 2, I believe. Oh, plus 3. Dirty 20. No.
Nice.
What is it? 2. No, it's 2. 19. I don't know. I'm not having a problem tonight.
Yeah. So, you know, you're so concentrated on what's going on and something, and you just all of a sudden you kind of back up and you're like, oh, you know, maybe, you know, whatever. And there's a like a drunk couple kind of coming down the street, and they're like kind of pointing at you like, should he be, what's he doing there kind of thing. They're not pursuing it, but they're talking in hushed tones.
Right. All right, let me see something here. Okay, like John said, we will end up like forgetting to do a bunch of shit. So let me look at my device. I shoot Eldritch Blast. No, I don't do Eldritch Blast.
They explode in a bunch of goose.
Explode the home that everyone is in.
Okay, so I haven't seen the basement yet, so that doesn't help me. Do I get the sense that they're inebriated or no?
Yes.
Fuck it. I burned my Misty Step.
Okay.
So I turn, they see me, they start to like maybe, you know, lean in a little bit closer. And then, yeah, he just like takes one step, like, so he's looking back down the alley, like between the houses.
Yeah.
But he takes one step forward and kind of turns, and then bam, I'm in the alley. So like I look like I'm walking towards them and disappear. So they'll be like, oh, fuck. Did you see that? No, I didn't see that. Oh, shit. I thought I saw some guy.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And it, like they kind of walk, you know, they're kind of walking around that kind of thing. Like, what? Hey, you know, and then, you know, you hear the female of the couple say, oh, what a creep. That's weird. And the guy's just like, forget it. Forget it, Lonnie. Let's just go home. She's like, fine, Dirk. Let's go.
So if there are windows on that side of the house, I'll, you know, get down and take a peek in, see if I could see.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah. Yeah. So you know, they're not glazed or was that frosted or whatever. So like you can clearly see Soot trying to like figure out, he's just kind of padding around and just like trying to figure out what's going on, you know?
So I extend a claw and tap on the window. And then I make like a rolling motion, like, come on, you gotta...
there's no thing.
So if he can see me, I'm like, what are you doing? Open the window.
I can't. There's no thing.
What do you mean you can't?
Look, there's no thing. It's just a glass.
Well, push it up. Push it over.
Kind of looks at you like, and I try to push it over.
It does not work.
Doesn't work.
So I guess he's whispering to me with Messenger and then I'm speaking back in his head this whole time.
Yeah, we're just back and forth on it. I'm just pointing at you and whispering.
Well, is no it thing. Locked? Look for a latch.
There's no latch. There's no thing. There's nothing.
It's a window.
I know. Maybe it just doesn't open.
Well,
anyway, look, they're all going to be asleep soon. And then I'm going to go up and I'm going to look around the house.
Why did you go in the house?
Because this is where the H is. And he invited me in.
He's on the outside of the house.
Right, but he was being very nice. And I figured it was a nice time I can look around. And the daughter wants to join the cult. So I thought maybe, you know, that could be some. Maybe she could lead us there.
I mean, do you expect her to sneak out this evening?
She wants to join a cult. I expect her to sneak out as the moment she has an opportunity.
Well, I suppose it would be narratively convenient if she did indeed leave the house this evening.
Well... Well, I was going to go, I felt kind of ashamed to go, I was going to go talk to her.
That seems risky.
I was going to change the way I look. I was going to be someone of her age and I have a whole thing.
I suppose. Did you inspect the H outside? I had a good look. It seemed that the whole thing was rather evil. The accoutrements surrounding the H itself was burned remains.
Oh no, I didn't get that. No, I didn't get that at all. That's terrifying.
This is a very distinct smell.
Huh. Yes. No, I didn't get that at all. That's new information for me. But that's ew. Ew.
Yes, I agree. Should I wait for you here? What would you like me to do since you're in the house? And you can't open the window.
No, the window is unopenable. Okay?
Try a different window. Try this window.
We go over to the other window. And I look at it, and I look at you through the window, and I say, there's no thing. And then I turn around, and I walk to the stairs, and how much time has passed? Is it reason? Because they would have gone up to bed, right?
Yeah, well, let's say, it's probably around, 11:30. Yeah, you you don't feel like you hear any noises, and then all of a sudden you hear, two voices kind of hurriedly talking to each other. Roll a listen check.
I'm going to do that. Probably just perception.
I would assume.
I don't believe think I have you. A believe in listen. You. Yeah. Well, no. That's a 7.
Okay. So you...
I kick open the door and I stop heavily throughout the bottom of the ground floor. I hear something.
Yeah. So you you hear a bunch of it sounds like it's Bernice and Cadigan just because you're a little familiar with their voices now. And you hear... And then you hear stomping downstairs. Dun, 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 dun. And then you hear someone passing by your door, out their front door, slamming the front door, and you don't hear any noise after that.
I run to the window and I point and I message. I'm just going, someone just left the house. Check the front door.
I peek my head around the corner while trying to remain in the shadow.
Okay.
Assuming they come down the way that I'm looking, right? Because, the house fronts on the street, so, it could be either direction, but...
Yeah. You see Kat running in the opposite direction.
I see the man has just left. He's running away.
It's back towards the barn?
Would it be back towards the barn?
Yes.
Yes. Well, in that direction, anyway.
I wonder if it's not worth following him.
Okay. Don't get
it. I'm not trying to split the party on purpose, but I wonder if it's not worth following him. I know he's in distress.
Well, we're already split. You're in the house. I'll be back.
That's true. Okay. All right. I'm gonna do some sneaking around.
Oh, I'm already gone. Own.
Yes. Is that just wait? What? Okay. Okay. Bye.
Okay. Give me a second.
Sorry for splitting the party. It seems appropriate, though.
Soot, pick a number or pick high or low.
High.
All right, you're up.
I'm up. I got up.
You're up. Yep.
Ew. All
right. So what do you do?
I cast invisibility on myself, first and foremost.
Ooh, I like that.
And I exit the basement.
Okay.
And I'm gonna skulk and sneak around the house. So just invisibility. It's a creature you touch, I touch myself. Boink. And I turn myself invisible until the spell ends, concentration up to an hour. So I've got an hour as long as I'm concentrating.
Just to let you know, I know you're single and in a basement, but you don't need to touch yourself. Sorry. Couldn't help myself. Okay.
Thank you for reminding me of
The more you know. Dun, 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 dun. I'm gonna edit that out. Anyway.
No, you can leave it in because then I can hear it and I can remind myself again later.
I want you to roll me a stealth roll or whatever.
I'd love to.
Even though you're invisible, you still can make a noise.
Absolutely.
Does he have advantage since he's invisible?
Sure. Okay. I'll take it. I got advantage.
Well, but wait a minute, though. Just because you're invisible doesn't mean you can't make noise.
No, that's true. Yeah. Well, so if I have advantage, I've got a 22. If I don't have advantage, I've got a 21.
Okay. Let's see. This is a hard choice. Wait, give me a second. I'll give you the advantage. Okay. So you go up the stairs and you realize going down the stairs that they're wood stairs. So they're very creaky. It goes, but for some reason you find every little spot where it's like, oop, Okay.
I know exactly. Okay. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Exactly. You are fleet of foot right now. Where do you go up? You're upstairs in the in between the foyer and the kitchen, basically.
I'm going to go into the kitchen and look around. Do they have any nice fine silvers?
They have any nice fine silvers? Let's let the dice decide. Pick high or low again.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, yeah.
Hi. Hi. This fine silvers?
There's like plates and silverware and pitchers and like it's a lot of stuff for having people over.
I'd like to take two sets of silverware, silverware, like two place settings worth.
Can you take it on the way out so you don't jangle while you're walking through the house?
I don't think I would think about that.
Okay. That's
fair. Okay. You do. Yeah, I mean, yeah, right? Hey, old me would say, of course, that would be the wise thing to do. But no, I'm playing Soot. Soot would not do that.
Nice.
If I see the silvers, I would take two full sets of silvers. In my mind, we can have a nice meal someday. We'll have nice silver to use, or we'll sell them.
Very nice.
But I'm also looking for I'm looking for anything that would point to maybe the girl has already joined the cult or something. And I'm going to try to make my way to her room. So bad.
Okay. So you head towards the hallway where you either go to the bathroom or you go upstairs. Okay. I want you to head upstairs, but I want you to roll with disadvantage.
I will absolutely do this. Wait a minute. Before I head up the stairs, can I listen to see if maybe I hear if anybody's awake upstairs?
Yes.
Okay. I want to check. I feel like I would do that because yes, you're right. All right. 15, 17 total.
Okay. So you hear that it sounds like Bernice is up, but she doesn't seem like she seems like she's behind closed doors right now.
Do I need to see them to do this? Okay. I think what I want to do, I can't, if I do this, I won't be invisible anymore. That's fun. All right. So the door is closed. You know what? The door is closed. Okay. That's fine. I'm going to go ahead and just walk up the stairs then while I'm still invisible.
Okay. All right.
So that's roll, disadvantage. Stealthy, yep, disadvantage. Stealthy disadvantage.
Stealthy Stealtherton.
Stealthy McStealtherton. Six disadvantage. Ooh, that's a 10 total with disadvantage.
Okay.
But I did roll a 10. A 10 is what I got.
Yeah, you did. You know what? I'm going to say tie goes to the runner because that's kind of what my deal was going to be. So I'm going to say that you start heading up the stairs and it's not quiet. So you know, you head upstairs and all of a sudden jingle and you stop.
Damn it.
You don't hear anything. You start heading up the stairs again. Jingle. You stop. You hear Bernice go, "Cot?" Silence. Then nothing. And then you make your way and you're at the top of the stairs.
All right, I just because I'm close, I just kind of see if I still hear her in there.
So you have a hallway. You've got on the left side, you've got two rooms. You've got what you would assume to the first door on your left is Bernice and Kot's bedroom. There's another room at the end of the hall. And then to your right, there is a door for a room and they're all closed.
Okay, I'm going to listen at the doors that aren't Bernice's door.
Okay, then
I'm gonna sneak up to the doors. Either, just listen.
So you've got the one on the right that doesn't have any doors before it.
Yeah.
And then you've got the one on the left that you're gonna have to go past Cotton Bernice's room to get there. So which one are you gonna do first?
The one that doesn't require me to pass their room yet.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah. I want to listen to see if I can hear anything.
Yeah. You go by the room. You listen. And it doesn't sound, it sounds like you can hear outside, but otherwise
really
you don't hear anything else.
Okay. I want to try to open, it sounds like I can hear outside. I want to open that. I want to open it up.
For sure. So it's a bathroom.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of like, I don't know if you've ever heard like some of the medieval bathrooms they used to have back in the day, where if you had to go to the bathroom, you went kind of on the side of this, there was like almost like an opening and then you would piss and shit down it and would go down like
outside. Big, yeah. Like, okay. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. And that's why you hear outside.
Is there a window?
There is a window. Yes.
All right. I'm going to go out the window.
This one has to be easy to open, right? I'm going to go out the window because it has now occurred to me that I'm not going to enter this girl's room from the inside of the house. I'm going to knock on her window from the outside of it. So this is, everything's going to be fine. I want to leave the bathroom through the window, and I'm going to be hanging on the outside of the house and work my way around to her room.
So you look at this window, and that's, it's almost the exact same window that you saw down in the basement.
I punch the window really, really hard. I look at it, I go, there's no thing. So now I want to hyper focus on how to open this window. I want to, it's a different window. It's a different circumstance. I want to try to find out how to open this window.
Yes, go for it.
Now, can I use advantage because I have knowledge of the downstairs windows, so I know what not to look for?
Sure.
This is, what am I doing? This is just wisdom, straight whiz, so nothing?
Yep.
Okay, well, there's an 18.
Okay.
18 and so, 6.
You're looking around and you're very frustrated. You're like,
there's no thing.
A window. Literally got to be the easiest thing to do. You're like, what the hell? Then for some reason, you notice a little bit of a, below the window, you notice a little bit of a, like, trying to think of the word. It's like there's a little, like, one part of the wall is a little bit depressed or like out, like it looks like it's out further than the rest of the wall. And what you do is you kind of take your hand and you kind of grab it and you pull it. And it's like, it's almost like a fake, like, drawer. And you pull it, and it's got a little lever that all you have to do is just pull it left or right to move the window.
I turn to the camera and roll my eyes. And then I look back to the window, and I open it up.
Yes. The producer is very excited for that. And, yeah, you open up the window. You look outside, and there's, like, nothing to really hang onto unless you decide to go out the window and grab the roof and get on the roof.
Okay, then that's what I'm going to try to do.
Okay. Roll me a dexterity check.
Everything's going to be great. Can I do like acrobatics or athletics? I feel like I would do a flippy flip. I would grab it. I go, this is the problem. I would do a flippy flip. Okay, I'll do a flippy flip. Plus 3. Oh, 19, 22.
All right. Describe to me how you do it.
So I'm looking around and I might even like try to like grab the side and like see if I can like press my body. I can't get a handhold. And then I kind of notice the rooftop ledge and I grab it and I take one leg and I toss it up and I just do like a quick little hewitt and I thrust myself up into the air and land on the roof like a cat would.
Nice. It looks so awesome. You're on the roof. You're very excited about what you've done.
Congratulating the shit out of myself.
That's right. You realize as you're on the roof that if this other window that you're going to is the same as the one you just came out of and the one that's in the basement, you're not going to be able to get it to it from here.
Right. Yeah. What I'm going to do is I'm going to try to hang myself over the roof to see if I can see into the window to see if it actually is her room. Cause I'm not going to try to open the window. I'm going to knock on it to try to get her attention as if I'm someone who's trying to be sneaky about asking her where the cult is. You know what I'm saying? This is my plan.
Nice.
For better or worse. Awesome.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So you know, you kind of pad. Oh, you know what? Roll me another stealth roll.
This is what I wanted to be with. So that's a 12 plus 6, 18.
All right. Good enough. So yeah, you kind of pad through a little bit there and, you know, nothing that really makes noise. You hear, you maybe like you're passing Bernice and Kat's room or whatever. You hear Bernice go, damn squirrels, you know, that kind of thing. And
yes, that's right, Bernice. I am a squirrel, I say to myself.
That's right. And you get to the other side. You find the other room. You look through the window. You can actually just lay on your stomach easily, look in the room. And it appears that no one is in there.
Okay. So the first thing I do, I said, oh, no one's in there. Well, I'm going to try this. I came all this way. I'm going to try it anyway. So the first thing I'm going to do is change what I look like. And this is a generic, super attractive human man boy whose name is Septim Parfait.
Oh, I love it.
Haven't pulled this one out yet, but it's just, it's just someone I noticed in my travels. And I've named this Septim Parfait. He's got like short blonde hair, coiffed, you know, sparkling blue eyes. Just an asshole.
What? This doesn't matter, but I'm going to ask anyway. What Is he human? Is he?
Yes. Yes, he is human.
Human. Okay.
Yep.
Again, it shouldn't matter, but I'm asking anyway because you've got a lot of people.
Kind of a wiry, lithe frame.
Okay. Yeah.
Might be a little Brad Pittish, maybe.
That's right. So I'm sorry. What were you going to do? Were you going to knock on the window? Were you?
Yeah, I'm going to tap on the window lightly to try to get to just a, you know, and then I would try it a number of times with increasing strength. And then if just until I'm convinced that nobody's coming, yeah. But I'm looking in, I'm tapping on the window, trying to get her attention.
Yep. So you tap on the window, nothing. You tap on the window a couple more times, nothing. You get a little harder. You're about to give up and you realize that the window is open. Just a touch.
Okay. Oh, interesting. I open it up and I go into the room.
Okay.
Do I have dark vision? Right. I don't think I do.
There are candles in the room. There's
okay.
Yeah, there's nobody's in there, but there's candles on in the room.
Fuck, I don't know her name. What's her name? Did I hear her name?
You did not.
No, okay. So I'm whispering. I'm trying to whisper like, hello. Hello? Are you in here? Are you in here? I have to pick out a different voice for Septum Parfait.
Yeah.
I'm whispering as I'm doing this. I'm coming in.
Yeah, you don't hear anything. Doesn't seem like anybody's occupied this room.
All right. I'm going to look around. I'm going to toss the room as quietly as I can.
Okay. So I'll tell you what you see. So you are in the daughter's room. You see a large poster. It says Cyclops live at the fishery in Quorm.
I take the poster.
Nice. You see a wood plank shaped like a human, and you see that it has a bunch of different darts thrown into it. So there's a couple on the hands, a couple on the knees, couple on the feet, a bunch of different ones in where the eyes would be, and then a couple that where the crotch would be.
I gulp comically.
You see that there is this almost it's not humongous, but it's a nice large fishbowl, and it's got this small blue squid kind of floating in it. And it's got a little nameplate that's sitting next to it that says Squidfried on it.
Damn it! So it looks at it like, okay, but inside he's burning. Damn it.
You see a yellow leather-bound book in the corner.
A leather-bound book?
Yep, that's yellow.
Okay. Oh, it's yellow. Oh, yellow leather. I like it. A yellow leather bound book. Okay. I slowly and dramatically approach the yellow leather bound book.
It looks similar, but dissimilar to Black Claw's book.
Interesting.
It looks like it's made out of something. You just don't know quite what it is. It almost feels like it's alive, but it's not. And it reads master on the front of it. It also has what looks to be some kind of lock on it, but it's in the shape of a small hole that you don't recognize any key fitting in.
Hmm. Like, okay, I'd look around a little more to see if I can find something that would fit into the hole, like a hairpin or something, or a needle.
Roll me an investigation.
I will do this. This one. Oh, I have a +2 in that. Oh, yeah. Bard. 5 + 2, 7.
Okay. So you're looking around the room and you're just not finding anything. You find like clothes. You find different parchments of like classes that she takes and things like that. And you find trying to think of the other thing I'm thinking of. It's not coming to me. But yeah.
Magical dagger.
Yeah, no magic. No. Yeah, you're kind of looking around and stuff like that, and you're not really finding what you would think would be the thing that fits into this hole.
Okay. All right. So I just take the book then. I have to
Okay, so you're just gonna take the book.
Absolutely. The book is mine. I'm gonna show it to Black Claw and see what he thinks. All right, so she's not in here.
Actually, when you pick up the leather bound book.
Yes.
See a note under the book, and it says, "When the moon is at its highest, he calls."
Oh boy, When the moon hits your eye, or when the moon is at its highest.
Like a big pizza pie.
Like a big pizza pie. When the moon is at its highest, he comes. I take the note and I put it in the book as if it is some sort of bookmark. Oh, I can't open the book. That's right. I just take it all. I take the book. I take the note. I take the book and the note. And then... Yeah, I don't think there's anything else that I do other than I take the book and take the note, and then I think I leave. I think I go back out. How far is it down?
Let's say that there is like an awning, but it's like 6 feet. So it's you'll be able to make it. It's just going to be loud.
All right. Shit. All right. So we know of the jade canopy is like the bar, right? What else? I want to leave a note for her.
Roll me a wisdom check.
That's a 7.
Okay. Yeah, you're trying to figure out.
I'm thinking of leaving a note for her that says like, meet me someplace. I hear you know about the cult of Hali. I am interested. If you want your book back, meet me here. But I don't know. Jesus, I hate thinking that. I mean, is there even a pen? Is there even like a pen and ink?
Yeah, she had the book. She has a bunch of like different scrolls and stuff like that. Yeah, there's like a quill and some ink and stuff like that.
All right, I think I would do that then. Does she get it? Presumably, my idea is that she can lead us there, and that I can convince her to take me or us there. And that's how we get in, because we really don't know where this place is. So I want to leave a note saying that. I'll just say, if you want your book back, meet me behind the jade canopy.
Okay. Sounds good. So now we're going to cut to Black Claws.
Sneak.
I'm not even going to have you roll any sneak, because he is like, Tot is a Goliath on a mission. You follow him. He goes back into the bar. He smashes through the doors. And you can hear him say, where is this cult of the pusillanimous? And he like starts picking up people and shaking them. Like, tell me where my daughter is, or I'm going to start punching some faces.
I probably just like fucking post up like outside the door. Yeah. Like I want to be close enough that I could hear, but obviously I'm not going to walk in. Well, he's enraged. You, what do you know? So I'm not going to do that.
Okay. So you're kind of just waiting for something to happen. And just like a old timey, or just like an 80s movie where they're in the old West, you see all of a sudden just somebody just flies out the door. They fall to the ground. Snoop. And you hear his voice get louder. He says, tell me where this cult is, or I will... what would he say? Or I will pummel all of you. And you hear like a big like thud, and the whole bar, the outside of the bar shakes like someone's been thrown into a wall.
Yeah, I mean I'm not gonna fuck with a Goliath. Until this settles down. I think he's just kind of waiting now. So maybe he helps that guy up and he's like, oh, He seems rather perturbed. What's going on?
And he kind of like the patron kind of gets up and kind of like throws his hands at you. He says, "Leave me alone!" And he kind of stumbles off into the dark. He like doesn't even give you 2 cents.
Rude. And he puts his ear back to the door.
Nice. And then you after a little bit, you hear the guy in the background go, "You're rude." And he keeps walking, and he's like, I know you can hear him talk through the thing. It's like you can hear him talking through, and he's like, I know something is happening here, and one of you knows. And you can hear like more of an uproar now. People are like, you know, hey, no, stop that, you're ruining our good time, that kind of thing or whatever. And then you hear somebody say, okay, put me down. And then you hear like a very gentle kind of, well, not gentle, but a nicer, like 2 feet on the ground. And then you're trying to listen. You don't quite hear what he's saying.
No. So when he puts him back down on the floor, I have a non-combat Benny that I would like to spend to just like surreptitiously slide into the door, like crack open and sideways kind of slide in and just sit by a table right, you know,
yeah,
near the door because I want to hear what's up.
Yeah. Literally no one notices you because all eyes are on Kot. And yeah, you slide in like you've been there the whole time. You even like there's even someone like right next to you. And he's like, what the fuck's up with this guy? You know, like he even thinks like you've been there the whole time, you know, and you hear him say, I heard it's in the basement. It's in the basement of the Church of the Children of the Gods. And you hear and I have to write that down. I made that up. No, I have to write it down. And he says, well, that's pretty ironic. And he looks like he's going to kind of let him go. And then he just kind of like, he gets a fire in his eyes again. And he's like, you know, so he like picks him up and throws him like he's kind of in the like back left corner and he throws him like face first into the bar. And the guy just completely is knocked out. And then now there are people like grabbing his legs and grabbing his arms. And they're like, you're out of here. Get out of here. You're causing you're just ruining everyone's good time. You're ruining our bar. And he's like, he's angry, but he's also like looking at other people. And he's like, if you had a daughter, what would you do? What would you do? That kind of thing. And he like shrugs some people off and he's
I stand up and I go, here. That's right. This man's right. They're nothing but a scourge upon the town. And I nice. Pick up the guy's beer that's in front of me. I was sitting at the table with me and up in the air.
Nice. And, he doesn't, he notices you, but he doesn't like, point at you or anything or say anything or whatever. And then he storms out of the bar and heads. He doesn't head back to his house. He heads the opposite direction getting out of the bar.
Towards the church.
Yep.
Yeah, I duck out behind him and I'm like, I jog to catch up to him, but he probably doesn't hear me, right? Because I'm a cat.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that was quite a rousing speech. I believe if I had a child of my own, I would feel the same.
Roll me a dexterity check.
So 10 on the die plus 2, 12.
Okay. So you just narrowly almost get hit in the face because you scare the shit out of him because you pounce so like so quietly.
I'm just like next to him.
and he's like, you heard me in there. Why are you here? I'm in such a rage I could just rip anybody apart.
Well, I understand the sentiment exactly, but perhaps this is the thing that's best for the town guard. You don't know how many there are. You could be in quite a amount of danger.
He looks at you. He squints his eyes, and you realize they are. What's that?
It's no offense, because he towers over me.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And you realize that Kot's eyes are a deep red, so it looks very like menacing. And he says, "I don't care how many of them there are."
Oh, I get. I father's rage and then all that. I just if you wish to catch them, it may be better. Better served if perhaps the guard were involved. You don't want any harm to come to yourself. If you go in there storming around and punching people, you'll just drive your daughter further into their arms. You know, children are so rebellious.
He looks at you and he says, "Bullywog," and he turns the opposite direction and keeps walking towards the church.
I stop. I'm like, I think.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
Are you truly trying to get him to stop going to there by himself?
Yes, because I don't want to fuck anything up.
Do you have anything that you could use that against him that would make him not do that?
I mean, just persuasion, I guess, unless you consider that's like a deception because my motives are,
a deception. Are yeah.
ulterior to his.
Exactly.
You know, him getting his daughter back, right? Like it's kind of the same, but for not like necessarily,
Yeah. Yeah. It's not necessarily for good reasons.
Right. Right. Right.
Yeah. So yeah, if you want to, I would allow you to do that.
Yeah. So he makes the argument for, you know, you're just going to, you know, make her choose sides kind of thing and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be, I think that's a 19, 14 on the die plus 5, 19.
Wow. Nice. Yeah. So like he stops and he has his fist to his sides and you can tell like he's like balling his fist up so hard. You almost think that his hands are going to like explode and his shoulders droop. And he's just like, you know what? You're right. I can't go in there all guns blazing. Otherwise, how much better am I than they?
You couldn't compare yourself to scum such as those. Perhaps you should spend the night. She'll come home, cool down. How about this? Well, no, that won't necessarily work. But I think that it would be okay. We know where the cult is. And if you allow this to blow over for the moment, it will be better for us to catch them later.
And he kind of holds out his hand and he says, I must ask, how much do you know of this cult?
He kind of like looks up and away. And then his ears, they don't go flat, but they sort of point forward and his whiskers twitch. And he says, my understanding is that they wish to summon an ancient evil.
And then he says, do you understand how they do this?
Again, he sort of like looks down and away and then, you know, back at him. And he says, I suppose as most of these things happen, it's mostly ritual sacrifice, I would believe.
So here's my question to you. Why should I sleep on it?
Well, if she wishes to join, then I feel as she is in no danger of being sacrificed herself. Of course, having you wouldn't say sin because that wouldn't be the blight of sacrifice upon her own person is something that she would have to live with, of course. But if you will allow me to investigate, I believe I may be able to help. I know you have no reason to trust me, of course. I'm a complete stranger to you, but I do am somewhat familiar with not this cult in particular, but some of these practices. I may be able to put an end to this.
Okay, I want you to roll me a persuasion check.
Yeah, 13.
Okay, he really stares at you for a while, really like squints his eyes, just kind of looks at you and like, looks up and down. He it takes him quite a while to like, you can tell the gears are turning. He's trying to figure out like who,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, who are you? Why would I, you know, whatever. And he says, you are a tabaxi. You are quite light on your feet. I am not, that I'll give you, but you are a complete stranger to me. That's another thing. That how do you promise that you will keep my daughter safe and also be trustworthy to get the information that I need?
I suppose you'll just have to trust me. Let's just say I have a vested interest in what happens here.
He believes you, but also there's something in the back of his head, and he says, give me something that's personal to you. I will tell you where I live. If you are trustworthy enough, you will come back for this thing that you love, and I will return it to you with the information, or with exchange of the information.
I kind of want to give him my cane, but I don't think he would take it.
Well,
I mean, it is an ornate cane, but it really, you know, I mean,
it doesn't have any value, but it might have value to you.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to erase my non-combat anything.
I mean, if you were to role play it enough, you might be able to convince him.
I hold out my hands. Or my paws. And then I reach behind me and I pulled out the jeweled dagger and I hold it out to him. You're muted.
But I unmuted, sorry. so he stares at it and he looks it up and down. He actually puts it into the moonlight and he kind of looks at it a little bit more and he says, ah, this dagger, this is something of great value. I do trust that it is something that is of value to you, and I will accept this.
I will return to collect that.
I hope you do. And he gives you a look that says, I trust you, but also I don't.
Right. The dagger's probably worth more than he makes in like 5 years.
Yeah. You realize that he might know what this is.
I wouldn't ask him because then it would seem like it's not like I don't know.
You don't know what it is.
Yeah, exactly. You wouldn't do that.
Exactly. Perfect. I gave you that conundrum. I was wondering if you're gonna go for it or not.
Totally plays it off.
Look at you, smart guy.
He says, let us return to your home, and then you can provide me with directions to the church.
And he says, no need. He says, just go down this path, 80 paces. Look to your right. It's the tallest building.
And I look down the street towards, you know, see if I could. Well, I guess it's night. I wouldn't necessarily see it at this point.
You see the moon almost direct. It seems like it's almost directly above.
Shining on the big bell tower or whatever.
That's right. It seems like it would be in the sunlight. It would be a massive, beautiful, ornate building for the people that are worship there. But in this light, something very dark,
ominous looking instead.
Yeah. It shows itself at night.
Mm-hmm. Reveals itself to me. It's true.
That's right.
Yeah. He says, yes, so there's the church, but I also need to know where you live so I may collect what's mine when the deed is done.
Nice. He actually gives you a coin. He says, put this coin into your hand and just think about me, Kat. It will lead you there.
So he takes the coin and closes his paw around it and thinks the guy's name. See what happens.
Yeah, when you have your eyes closed, you see a shimmering vision of him right in front of you.
And he says, this will do.
And he says,
there is more to you than meets the eye, it would seem.
Just because I am a big oaf does not mean that that is all there is to me. I must bid you adieu.
That was not my meaning.
That's okay. Again, a lot in life, people misjudge. I must bid adieu. I must comfort my wife. She also worries.
I will contact you when I am finished.
Okay. See you. And then he turns around and leaves.
I move out of his eye line. I pocket the coin. I don't want it in my hand because I don't know if it does anything else.
So I stick it goes, pew, pew, pew. No.
I put it in a pocket and then if he's walking down the street, I just make a 90-degree and like wait on the corner because I told Soot that the guy was going towards the bar. So I'm assuming that he's going to attempt to get out of the house. So I'll wait at least a few minutes to see, because he wouldn't know where I was going or where he would need to go. So I'm just waiting.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's go back to Soot. What are you doing?
Soot would definitely, after having the book and leaving the note, I think my next step is to leave, and probably I'll just probably start sauntering back towards the Jade Canopy.
Okay. So you start going towards the Jade Canopy and you hear a bunch of noise. Like you hear just a bunch of people just saying, can you believe what happened? That was ridiculous. I can't believe it. That guy, are you okay? I'm fine. You know, are you all right? God, I'm good. We need a drink. Yeah. I'm going to go home. This was terrible. That, you know, just there's a lot of like, just different voices, a lot of people just really just upset about what happened or whatever. But you don't know that. You just know that something happened, but you can almost assume you know why.
I would try to listen to try to get as much information from that, but I would just go. But when I left the house, I think I would stay. I'm still in Septim Parfait's persona, just so you know. But I'm not, you know, if I happen to pass by Kat, you know, you wouldn't recognize me that I know of, but you would know who I am, but I would listen to as much as I can about that. But yeah, absolutely. I would assume something happened at the, at the Jade Canopy.
So you're just outside the canopy and, you know, people are kind of milling out and about and in and stuff like that. And there is a gentleman that is kind of sitting down kind of against the outside of the bar, against the wall. He's just kind of like rubbing his head a little bit and just kind of like, oh, can't believe that just happened. That was ridiculous. And he looks at you, Sutton, and he's like, wow, you are a very, wow, you, I, I'm sorry. I just, my apologies. You are just a very handsome young man.
It's quite all right. I get it all the time. And I give him like a bow, like, ah.
He says, you know, it is almost time for my friends to get together. And you know what? They're also, just ungodly beautiful. And you know, we usually get together about this time and kind of hang out, have a few drinks, do some fun activities.
Interesting.
I'm sorry. I'm being really forward. I'm sorry. I'm usually not like this.
Well, it looks like you have quite a bump on your head. I imagine that you're not feeling yourself.
Yeah, there's this guy that just came in and just started just throwing everybody around. Just, I don't know, just like he owned the place. I don't know.
Ugh, times are crazy these days. But yes, you are being quite forward with someone that you've just met.
You know, I mean, it happens. Oh, you know, I have to go home and clean up. But if you're willing, we get together, just kind of have fun around the fire, just kind of hang out. You know, if you go, and he says about like 100 paces, he's like, if you go to about 100 paces to your right, it literally looks like, I don't know if you're, are you from here?
Oh, I'm visiting from afar.
Oh, beautiful. You know, it's this big, tall, ivory building. It's called the Church of the Gods. It almost looks like the moon is kind of sitting right on top of it. Ah. We're mingling. We're kind of hanging out. I would love to invite you.
You've hit your head quite hard. It's all right. Yes, I do believe that does sound like a good time. That's the Church of the Gods, you say?
Yeah.
100 paces that way.
Yeah, for sure. You know what? And if you know, most of the time we're really inviting and stuff like that. But like, if I'm not there, Samag wanted you here, and you know,
Sanag no, sent no, me. No.
Yeah, Sanag. Yeah. So like, I'm sorry. I'm terrible at this.
Oh no, Sanag. It is wonderful to meet you. Let me help you up, and I would go to help him up.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, thank you, and he kind of like,
I will pick the shit out of his pockets while I'm helping him up.
nice, sleight of hand with advantage.
Yes,
sleight of hand.
Where is it?
Plus four,
13, 17.
Okay, you find 4 copper, 2 silver, and 2 gold. That's not it. I just want you to do that.
4 copper. 2 silver and how many gold?
2
gold. Add. Nice.
It adds. And it. It's awesome.
And you find a mask that looks like this. Oh shoot! I got this. You can't see
the picture. Kurt, why do you have a mask for the Church of the Gods, the Cult of Hali, Kurt?
Because this whole time we're not role playing. Oh, no. I am getting you into my cult, my real.
Damn
cult.
It.
The mask looks like this.
It looks like a map of the air of the country. Oh, never mind.
It's like a Batman mask.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Or almost like a Daredevil mask.
Daredevil. Cult mask. Yeah,
and it has horns Daredevil. In the front. Yep. It's got with a star in the middle. Forehead. And it's yellow.
My backpack on D&D Beyond is getting full. Okay, I swipe all of it. I take it. And I help him to his feet. I dust him off and I go, it's a pleasure to meet you, Sanab. My name is Septim.
Oh, Septim. What a beautiful name.
Septim.
Yeah, you Septim. Dumb bastard. Slap.
I beat the shit out of him. Again. It's Septim. I correct him even though he says right like twice. Septim. Septim? Yeah, Septim. And then I dust him off and I help him out the door, I guess.
Okay. Yep. And he's just like, I hope to see you soon. And
yes, of course. I will see you at the Church of Gods.
And he goes in the direction of Kat's house, basically.
Okay, so like down the down the road. All right.
Yep.
I think what I would do after this little incident is just kind of go behind the jade canopy, and I would look around for. I mean, I'd be looking around for Black Claw, but
I throw up my hands because I'm sitting on the other side of the street watching all of this. As he comes down this way, and I'm here, and they're in front of the jade canopy, and then he walks away, and I'm like, "What the?" And then I'm like, "I'm over here."
Would I see you?
Because I can see you. I can see you, so I can talk in your brain.
Oh! I kind of get like startled. I turn around. Oh, I point and I whisper and I wave and say, "Oh, hi!" And then I walk towards you. I look both ways and then I cross the street to talk to go see Blacklaw. Hello.
Who was that?
This is Septim Parfait.
No, not you. I know.
And I present myself to you.
The other one.
Oh, that's a new friend, Sanag. He invited me to a party at the Church of the Gods. I don't know if you've heard of it, but I
just Church of the Children of the Gods down the street, the one with the tower.
He might have said that. I don't know, but I got invited to a party. The point is, I got invited to a party.
That's where the cult is, in the basement.
Really? Fascinating coincidence.
Your other new friend, Kat, made quite a show at the bar.
Yeah, so that was him. You know, I was hoping, because, you know, what did it look like? Because I imagine him going off on a crowd of people must be just
He may
insane.
Have killed someone, quite honestly. I'm not sure if his neck broke when he hit the bar, but he's a very large man.
I imagine he's probably looking for his daughter, because she wasn't in her room. Don't ask me why I know that.
I don't say anything for a second.
Yeah, we stare at each other for a few moments, and then I say, look what I found, though. And I kind of look around, make sure no one's like no close to us, and I produce the yellow book. I go, it looks like your book.
May I see that?
Yeah, should we go somewhere, though? Should we like go somewhere first? Did we get a room? We must have gotten a room.
Yes, let's do that.
Why don't we do that? That's probably a good idea. Let's get off the street. A lot's happened tonight. We need to get our stories together to figure out what to do next. We'll info dump in the room. Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, the old info dump.
Christ, I forget who I was. I think I switch over. So I switch back to Benny so that I am the person who has the room. That makes sense.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, nothing exciting happens. You go back to your room. You shut the door.
The cult operates out of the basement of the church. He was indeed looking for his daughter, which you confirmed she wasn't at home.
No.
I told Kat, I didn't tell him about you, but I told him I had a vested interest in what happened at the church. He agreed to let me look into it and sleep on it before discussing things with the authorities. So we don't have much time.
Okay.
He wishes her safe.
Right. Well, that, you know, we'll see how that goes, I think. But obviously, if we can get her out of there, that would probably be beneficial. He must have an idea of a reward for bringing her past safely. So that'll be good. I'm sure he'll have some sort of reward for the people who bring his daughter back safely, for sure.
Well, I did. I gave him the dagger to hold on to because he wasn't very trusting.
The jewel encrusted dagger.
Well, he's holding it. I didn't give it to him. It's collateral.
Wow. Okay. Well, I suppose that's something.
I hope we don't need that.
Yeah.
This seems very specific sort of thing.
It was a very nice looking dagger. I don't think you had determined yet what it did.
I don't know what it does.
Maybe he'll know what it does.
It did look like he had a look to him where I thought he might know what it means, but I didn't want to ask him because then he would know that I didn't know what it meant. And then this is a whole thing.
I understand completely. Why would you wouldn't want to let on at all? That's very good. It's wise of you not to let on at all. But I think I wanted to get your opinion or see what you felt about the book and also this note. And there's like a table, must be a table in the room. I put the note and the book on the table. I slide it across to you and I say, this note was under this book and this book was in the daughter's room. And it looks like your book, except it's yellow and has a master on the front of it.
So I look at the note first because it'll be quicker to read the note. I don't remember. What does the note say?
The note says,
When the moon is at its highest, he comes.
Ah, yes. Okay. Could be the king. The book is yellow, of course. And he kind of like has one paw on the book, and then he slides it in front of him. And you know, he feels it to get a sense of it. Can I make an arcana check? Like, he's got a hand on it. Do I get a sense of anything from the book?
While you're doing that, like Soot's talking to you, but you're probably not even tuning him. I was like, there's a clasp on it. I couldn't get it open, and there's this keyhole in there, and there was nothing for me to use. And like, you're just looking at the book.
Yeah, before you figure out the book, I would like you to roll me a wisdom check on the note.
Am I adding anything to it? Or is it like a?
Do you have nature?
Let me check. Skill? I don't think so. I do not.
Okay, then no.
Okay, it's 16.
Nice. So
it's skin, isn't it? It's people skin.
You think about
people
it.
People skin,
and you realize that it's basically saying about midnight is when
the moon I assume is at so. Its highest. Yeah, when the yep. moon is. Yeah, yeah. Yep.
Yep.
I got that.
So that's what the note means.
Player intuited that. I'm not that dumb. And then would it be an arcana check on the book?
Correct.
Okay. Ooh, that's only a 7.
Okay. So you're kind of looking at this book and like, you're kind of looking at the hole. You're really staring at the hole and you're like, this just seems like no keyhole I have ever seen. And you kind of look at the back, you kind of look at the side, you look at Soot, you know, you're trying to kind of figure out what to do. You put a fingernail in it and you're like, maybe I can jiggle the, you know, and it's just like, there's like nothing there. But in the back of your head, you hear something eerily whisper to you. Yes.
I slowly throw my paw away from the book.
And then you hear another. Oh, no, go ahead.
Did you hear that?
Also, I got 2 sets of silverware from the kitchen, so we can have a nice meal one of these nights and we'll have just this wonderful silverware.
It's fine. Did you hear anything? You did not hear that?
No. Hear what? No, I didn't hear anything.
Hmm.
Was there something? What's happening?
The book.
The book? No, I didn't hear anything from the book. Did you hear something from the book?
He like looks around the room. He says, yes.
Oh, well, that's something. What did it say?
It's hungry.
I don't know if I like that. What do you suppose
it eats? Well, let's just say it's not good.
Well, the book is hungry?
You hear another voice in the back of your head go,
like, you're too low, I can't hear it.
I'm what?
I didn't hear what you said, you were too low.
The book needs to turn its mic up.
I'm too loud. I'm loud enough.
Whispering that good MSR shit.
Yes. Yes. And then it says again, blood.
Ah, yes. That's interesting.
Hungry for what? What could it possibly be hungry for?
Blood, of course, blood.
Oh, blood. Oh. Yes.
I mean, we could try their fluids, but I don't believe that would work.
We could start with blood and just see. And then go from there.
Do I get so I only got a 7 on the arcana. Do I get a magical sense? I mean, obviously it's magical because it's speaking in my head, but okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Is there writing, inscription, anything on the front cover spine? Does it say anything?
It only says master.
I wonder, maybe we put the blood in that little hole there.
Yeah, I believe that is the intention.
Oh, you got to, okay, you got there. Okay.
Should
we try it?
I think that we must to gain more information about what is going on.
Oh, I like this. Okay, well, go ahead.
He grabs you by the neck. Hold your head back, slits your throat over the
neck. His claws come out and pierce my neck, and blood drips into the hole from my neck.
No, he holds his palm. He wouldn't do it on his palm because that shit hurts. He puts a finger, toe, finger. What is it on a cat paw? You get it. It's the thing.
Yeah.
So he puts he pops a claw out of his other hand and just quick. I guess he would just poke it.
Soot backs up to the other side of the room.
And then I turn it and hold it over the lock. as the blood wells up on my furry black finger, I gently turned it over and let it fall into the and the camera shot is just like a real close up of the finger, the blood well up and slowly turn over, and then a real slow shot of the blood drip fall, and then you see a little bit of a splatter as it falls into the hole.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, and even gets a little bit over the like lock, and the book in itself looks like it ripples, and then it almost looks like for like half a second that you see a wickedly happy face, and it disappears, and the lock opens.
Did the lock just open?
Yes. And okay. Like he just stares at the book for a minute.
So like carefully walks back over to the table.
And then he'll like with an extended claw flip the cover open to see the, you know, the inside, you know, essentially title page and, you know, whatever.
Yeah. You actually, this book seems like it's almost like a really good novel. And when you open the book, there's only one page. And it reads this. He comes to me when I dream. He tells me this world doesn't deserve me. He tells me my family doesn't understand me. I am iridescent. I am above this plane of existence. The murky waters call to me. They're in his voice. They want me to be his princess. I want to ascend. There is nothing for me here. And after you read the text, the book closes in on itself and latches.
He looks back to Soot. Were you reading it over my shoulder?
I don't think so. I feel like I'm in front of you staring, like it would have been upside down to me.
You said you were going to be across
the room. I was across the room, but then when it opened up, I creeped back over. But I think I'm looking at it upside down. So I'm just kind of watching you read it.
Okay. I look up at you then over the closed book.
What did you do?
There was but one page in the book. And I info dump you the information that I only half wrote down.
I receive the info dump.
She feels that there's nothing here. She wishes to ascend to be made a princess.
Was it her? So it was her? I guess it was her.
Almost a diary of sorts. Well, the tome itself is magical insofar as that it has a magical property. It is not a book of spells.
Okay. Seems like an elaborate locking system for a diary.
Well, yeah, I mean, suppose so. If given to her, it may affect her psyche in some way. It may be manipulating her in some fashion. She did wish to become part of the cult.
Okay, so we'll probably assume that she's already there.
You have the mask. Spoke to whatever his name was.
Sanag.
You couldn't personate him to get us in. I could be your plus one.
The cool thing is that I can just say Sanag sent me, and that gets me in.
But you wouldn't have to if you impersonated him and wore the mask. They may be suspicious if we both come in. If you enter as Sanag, there would be less suspicion upon me.
True. Okay, yeah, we could do that, absolutely. Unless Sanag is there. I was supposed to meet him there, you know?
Perhaps.
Yeah, it was like, if I go there... And he's not there yet, or we don't meet each other to go there. I was just supposed to say Sanag sent me, but I can say Sanag sent us. That's probably just as good.
I mean, you're probably right. I guess you could literally be anyone with the mask.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Once we get in.
Right. Yeah. The mask. I did take that off of Sanag, so I'm not sure. Yeah, we'll have to see. You know, we're gonna play it. We're gonna see what happens, see how it unfolds, and we'll play it by ear and sight. Because if I can put the mask on, I will. But if not, it'd be a great thing, probably worth. It's probably a great thing to sell.
It's probably only value to those within the cult.
I think that, what's his name? Back at the guild. What the hell's his name? Our guild buddy there. Scrape. I bet you Scrape would love this.
He made more for the novelty value.
Oh, you know what? I hand you the mask. I go, can you do your, see if you can get any sort of, like maybe you can bleed on the mask and something will happen. Or is it just a mask, do you think?
Give it here. And he'll take
it. I give it to you.
In the hand that's not bleeding. and try to get a sense if it has, you know, any sort of arcane properties. I'm assuming not, but
so it backs up to the other side of the room.
Here you go.
Yeah, do me another arcane check.
Okay. Ooh, that's only a 4. Okay. Seems just like it's just a mask.
It's just a shitty mask.
He turns it over. The quality is not terrible. It's a nice fine gold fabric. Like, you know, his family's. Yeah. You know? It's really, really quite well done.
Yeah. Well, we have it anyway. We have it in our back pocket in case we need it. But I think it is literally probably I was invited by Sanak, you know?
I trust your judgment.
Yeah, I'll have to remember. I'll get back into my, when we go, I'll get back into my Septum Parfait persona, the persona that was invited, and tell them Sanag sent us. And, you know, you'll get right in right away because you're definitely looked the part. So I think this is going to go fine.
Well, I feel like I shouldn't have given him this dagger. This may not turn out as well as I would like to have thought.
Well, we're going to be getting another dagger. So, you know.
But that's for Scrape.
And anyway, regardless of whatever happened, we'll get your dagger back regardless. I'm not worried about that.
Okay. I won't worry about it.
Yeah, no, it's probably not worth worrying about.
Easy to come, easy go.
Hey, yeah. That should be our mantra.
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.